Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
There is nothing like f***ing winning, man. There is nothing like winning. And I'm telling you right now, it doesn't matter if it's freaking dominoes, it's spades, it's Blu-ray, it's croquet, it's f***ing chess, it's preseason, ass-kicking. It does not matter, man. Winning is winning. And it feels good, man.
We're winning.
Always.
Welcome to another edition of the Hard Knocks podcast presented by Around the NFL. I'm Dan Hansis, and to my left in studio, the tiny box to my tugboat, Tugbox.
Wow.
She's pro-grit, anti-fragile. Mm-hmm. She's our airline pilot with zero flight experience, Colleen Wolf.
False. That's false. I have almost
That's
a private
right.
pilot's license, and I have multiple hours, and I graduated flight school, my ground school. So
you should be the one playing defense for the Lions.
Someone didn't triple source.
I don't think so. My fault. Oh, your old man worked as
air traffic controller.
Kind of butchered that intro of you there.
I know.
What's up, Colleen? We're together for episode 3 of Hard Knocks here in Englewood at the Chris Wessling Podcast Studio, and how beautiful it is, and I assume if you're listening to this, you probably maybe understand that reference, but Dan Campbell was pumped. All right, Dan Campbell's always pumped.
About everything.
At all times, his insanity, or his intensity, borders on insanity, and but I will say, like, that line, there's always one that stops me in my tracks with Dan Campbell, but when they're looking to get the defensive stop in the week 2 preseason game against the Colts that they couldn't get the week before, and he's on the sideline, and once again, I think he's talking into his headset, but kind of just talking to himself, and this is how he explains, like, the reward for a defensive player that saves the day. This is what Dan said.
All right, 18, let's go get him. I would love a f***ing 3-and-out or a turnover. If anybody gets a punch out here, they can fly the plane home themselves. They can literally pilot the f***ing plane.
What a terrifying prize that is.
That's what you would get if you were, you know, David Blau the week before when you blew the game on a fumble.
Right.
Oh, now if you want to be on this team, land the goddamn plane.
And no one else is on it but you. You got to take off and you got to land it too. I mean, that is an interesting reward system that Dan Campbell has going on. I just love how excited he gets over everything. I mean, clearly he's talking about, like, if he wins croquet. Is it croquet?
I think it was.
Because I'm thinking like croquette, which
croquette.
Is a food.
I think it's spelled like croquette, but it's croquet.
Crocheting would also maybe
that
be in there.
That is knitting?
Right.
Okay.
Croquette.
Let's just go with it.
Yeah. And he gets so excited about everything.
He does. And he mentioned chess, and he's like, Dan's not playing chess. But that doesn't matter. I think what does matter is something we alluded to in episode 2, that episode 1 was all sunshine and rainbows. It was all... We got grit for days, and we love each other, and we have fun, and all this. And then episode 2 was a reminder after the meltdown at the end of the preseason game. Oh yeah, but this team went 3-14, mm-hmm. and there are a lot of reasons to be excited, but also they have so much work to do. So, yes, it's a preseason game. And much loved NFL Films for being able to squeeze drama out of preseason football, because I struggle with it as part of my job. But, like, now we see, yes, positive feelings, winning. This team now has to win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they have – NFL Films has the perfect main character to squeeze drama out of the preseason. Dan Campbell is like a dream for Hard Knocks producers. And just think about the fact that if Dan Campbell is getting this excited about winning a preseason game, like imagine what happens if they go on, like if they win two in a row in the regular season. His head explodes, worried.
And Aaron Glenn's the interim coach.
Exactly. Yeah. Like we will have to check on him. He's going to need a life alert bracelet, maybe like a jazzy for the stairs. I don't know, but it could get ugly.
I don't want to temper the excitement around the Lions and Dan Campbell, but I was texting with our good friend Handsome Hank, who's a Dolphins fan, and we were talking about Hard Knocks and how Dan Campbell's so fun to watch, and he's so energetic, and he's just a great guy for a documentary series. But then you're like, is he a head coach, though? Is he ultimately an amazing guy on a coaching staff? Or is he really head coach material? We still have to see that.
And I want
think that
him
gets
to
lost.
Be.
We all want it.
Like, I need
and
it.
And when people now start running out their playoff predictions as we get closer to the start of the regular season, you're going to see a lot of football experts mm-hmm. put the Lions in as the second wild card in the NFC because we all want it. I don't want to be hurt because I don't want to see him get exposed by a Matt LaFleur or Kevin O'Connell or whoever else he's going to be going up head to head. But maybe that's, again, going back to episode one, Connie, when I said maybe I had the Metallica kids wrong. I have to stop thinking of him as a meathead because Dan Campbell is more than that.
Dan, I hate to break this to you.
Yes.
You've been doing Hard Knocks for how long?
I mean, how many years? 25 years, maybe? Okay. 11 years.
And you still haven't protected yourself from the potential hurt down the road when you start believing in these teams?
I mean, I'm
a Jets fan,
Colleen. Of
course he's going to hurt you. Like, this team is not going to be that great this year. I mean, they are building, but hopefully they can surprise us. My favorite thing about Dan Campbell, well, I mean, there's just so many different things. Because in the beginning of the show, when he's using his pants as an analogy that he grabbed out of his locker.
Do we want to listen to the pants stuff? We got to get into the pants.
Okay.
I don't have the pants.
No?
Okay. I have Depends, which is similar.
Oh, Depends and pants. I get it. Yeah.
Do you want to, since you brought it up, do you want to just play the Depends line?
Alex, you got your Depends on this morning? It's vital. You're coming off of diarrhea. You always got to wear the Depends.
I'm just saying, it's
Matt
like
Matt Foley.
Is Matt Foley beating Bill Belichick in the Super Bowl?
No, because they're not going to the Super Bowl. Not this year, at least. But in the beginning of the show, is he really calling out Anzalone for having a problem, or is he just messing with him, right?
His pallor looked a little off in this episode, Anzalone. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering if maybe he was under the weather.
Also, his hair is much blonder than it used to be. That was just on my radar. It's definitely bleach blonde.
All right, that's blonde on blonde crime there, and mm-hmm. I don't sign off on it.
But no, I mean,
back to your point.
Yes, so back to my point about the pants. In the beginning of the episode, Dan Campbell is addressing the whole team in that meeting room, and he says that he wanted to get pants from his locker, but like this is all he had. And then he starts going through this whole analogy and unfurls a pair of pants, right? Like I don't know what was in the pants.
Was that talcum powder, maybe?
Maybe like baby powder of some sort, but he was essentially saying it was grit. That's we finally figured out where the grit has been stored, and
pockets.
It's in Campbell's locker in his pants, I guess, huh? Yeah. So anyway, like that whole scene was about how they just need to clean stuff up, and how there's too much dirt and essentially too much shit in his pants.
I believe the dirt was how they blew the first preseason game.
They blowed it.
They blow that game. They got to get all that dirt out of their pants mm-hmm. and move on. So it tied in very nicely. And again, NFL Films, it seems like they know what they're doing
with this.
Tied in very nicely at the end of the episode where they get the stop on the 2-point conversion. We'll get to that. We'll get to the preseason takeaways. But, you know, I thought that there's always a Hard Knocks episode where you really start to get to know some of the guys on the other end of the roster, the underdogs. And this was I thought they did a good job with this because sometimes You could see it in a Hard Knock season where they're trying to establish a guy and you don't necessarily connect with him, and then you know that person's going to be involved for the rest of the show. I'm interested in Malcolm Rodriguez, the young linebacker who's seems to be finding his way in an unproven positional group. Khalil Pimpleton, the wide receiver, and Obinna Eze, the Nigerian player who obviously is trying to make it as an offensive lineman. These are three players that, you know, having watched a show enough, I know it's a possibility here that none of them make the final 53 and maybe they get on the practice squad. So you can get sucked in and think all these guys are going to be stars. But I thought that all their arcs in this episode were interesting. And I really have to say, Khalil Pimpleton, if we could start with him, I thought he showed some gumption. I like the onions on Pimpleton. It starts with, again, the
he went for it.
Yeah, the guys that have to come up in front of the team in the meeting, and of course you have Hutch, who did Billie Jean, who everybody loved, and you had Rodrigo, who did a Latin dance of some time, like a salsa type dance, and type dance, and they all love that. And then Pimpleton's like, I juggle.
It's pretty
good. It starts with like, and I just, this is something I try to instill in my own two young sons. Just don't let people try to not tell you what to do. Uh-huh. Like, so you hear this guy coming in from the background while he's trying to get his balls out to juggle.
We don't want to see that.
We don't want to see that.
Exactly.
But guess what? He told him to pipe down. And then he said, I'm not singing a song. Uh-huh. And he juggled.
He did.
Juggled those balls, Colleen.
Jesus. And listen, I was thinking while I was watching Pimpleton juggle.
Tough name, too.
Pimpleton, it is. It really, the whole, it's a sitch.
Like,
it's
he's overcome sitch. A lot. But, his uniform doesn't fit.
Oh, my gosh. I really felt for him in that moment because his uniform did look too big. And, like, when I am not comfortable in what I'm wearing, I can't do my job. Like, I did a full-on wardrobe change on Sunday night when we were doing the preseason show because my pants were too tight after the first show. And I was like, I can't think about anything else other than my pants right now.
Wait, were the pants fine before the show?
No, they were a little tight before the show. And then when I sat down, I was like, this is untenable, this entire situation. So then I changed my pants and put flip-flops on, and I was fine.
Good, good, good.
But I was thinking, what would you do if you had to go in front of a team like that as a rookie and do some type of talent? Like, what would your talent be? Because I have no idea what I would do. I can't bring an ice skating rink into the facility. Like, maybe I would... Maybe I would land a plane.
I think it's and you will get to Josh Adams, the stand-up king of Motown later. He pointed out what Aiden Hutchinson choosing like a R&B classic type song, like Billie Jean. I would kind of lean toward that direction, a pop song that I could tell the room would connect with, and then I'd do my best to sing it. That's what I would do personally. I think that's the safest move.
Yeah.
But. There's something noble to me in 2022 about a young man with a $65,000 signing bonus juggling
tennis balls too.
Like, I just like it. I like him.
I think
for
he
it.
Said $15,000 signing.
$15,000 signing bonus juggling.
Man.
Liked it. You know, that was gritty. I thought that's what it was.
It was, and so you know, best of luck to him. I do think that Rodrigo doesn't have a shot of getting cut. Like, I think that he's definitely going to make the team.
The more I watch, usually, like we say with the Hard Knock seasons, you get more and more excited about the team, and by the end of the season you're like, oh, 15-2, let's roll, let's head to the bye round in the playoffs. I think their linebacker group, it seems like an atomic shit show of sorts.
It's dicey
and it seems like Rodrigo has a real chance to get it done. I thought the Obinna Eze,
I don't know, because his nickname's Easy, so we can just call him Easy going forward.
His story is really interesting, obviously, that he from Nigeria, played basketball and eventually moved to football. And when he first got to America, which was only like 7 or 8 years ago, I think he had never even seen like shoulder pads.
Right.
To see that he is now trying to make it. This is the Hard Knocks. This is a great Hard Knocks underdog story. And seeing his family, his wife, and his mother rooting him on, that was nice.
It was. You know, the thing that really stood out to me was, Hank Fraley, like, why do you have to be so aggressive? It just...
It was some tough love from the offensive line coach.
He was ragging on Easy for not being a good basketball player when clearly Easy is trying to make this team too. Mm-hmm. And then when he's screaming at him in front of the whole, I guess, the position group, saying, you know, who are you cheating? And Easy's like, clearly doesn't understand, like, what he's trying to get at. And so he's right. like, nobody, I'm not cheating anybody. That felt like a very honest, genuine answer.
Right.
And
he didn't understand what the inference was there.
Right. And Hank Fraley just like wasn't reading that situation at all. He's like, you're so.
He was very Hank Fraley like in that spot. It felt like you also missed the part where Hank Fraley, to use a Philadelphia legend, in film went full Mick and was like, women weaken legs. And it's just like, oh, dude, come on, Fraley, clean it up.
I know, that was super cringy.
Here's the thing, like with Easy, he was kind of either exhausted or dogging it in the film. You can't, maybe he's learning. I mean, the eye in the sky doesn't lie and they're watching at all times. And hopefully he grows from that through, in part, addressing down from a coach, because that's part of what sports and football is about.
Right.
But I think you make a good point that there might have been something lost there in the connection there. So,
yeah.
It's all right.
And then we got to the Chippy joint practices.
I like that. It's a good transition.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Exactly.
It doesn't get any better than this. My God.
All right, Dan. Listen, Dantelica, we understand that you're excited. We're excited. We're about to get
it. Oh, what a day.
Yeah.
Field of dreams, brother.
I just want to curse listening to him. Every time I hear him, like, I want to get a beer with him. I want to hang out with him. I feel like he would be such a good time.
All right. Sean McVay, Dan Campbell, matching wits in December. Do we feel good about it?
Oh, I guess so.
We're matching grit. I feel great about it.
Ooh, I feel grit about it.
How far does grit take a team and a coaching staff? That's a good test.
To week one.
We're gonna learn a lot about the Detroit Lions. Yeah, so they had the joint practices, as you said, Colin. You're well traveled in this world of NFL, that one of the best practice facilities in the league is at Indianapolis.
Oh, it's gorgeous. It is. It's very
Field
hot.
Field of dreams, brother.
But it really, atta baby. It's a gorgeous facility. Like I think that they're doing a great job down there in Westfield, Indiana.
Very nicely done.
Yeah.
So he Campbell, like everything else, it's life or death. This is a big deal. These practices, and he wants to show, again, not just the Colts, but the world, that the Lions aren't going to be pushed around anymore. And it was even funny because I think 85% of the reason that Dan Campbell's into coaching is like because you could hit other people and beat people up.
Right.
And he gives that speech before the first practice where he's like, listen, if anybody's fighting, if anyone fights, you're gone. Your evaluation's over. And then he's also like, I want to see you guys fighting out there. I don't want you guys to take nothing from nobody. And wait. I imagine if like that's a tough needle to thread.
Okay, so super conflicting messages that Campbell is sending to the team, because he says, paint your faces, sharpen your spears, which I want to know, like, what has, like, Dan Campbell seen?
So it's like, it's all right if you kill somebody, but if anybody fights, your evaluation's over. You're out the door.
Your day is done. And then at one point when we were watching the show, because we all watched the show together this week,
we
paused it because there was a shot of Campbell in his office and there was a lot of word art, which I really wanted to see what the word art was behind him.
And what was that store at the mall in the late 90s?
Spencer's.
No, not Spencer's.
Time to Remember? No, what was it?
It was in that. It was.
Hot Topic.
No.
Come Graver, you're out of your depth.
It was. Wow.
It's not Hot Topic. Hot Topic is edgy. This was like a place you go for motivational posters.
Yeah, it was like a gift shop. Things Remembered? Was that it?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Anyway, this is where he got this stuff.
Yeah, and so the one
word
art. I can't
believe I just gave you you're out of your depth, Donnie, from Big Lebowski. Sorry to go full Goodman on you there.
We know all about malls, Graver. one of his word arts in his office was, a champion is someone who gets up when he can't. But if you can't get up, like, it feels like a conflict
bit. But you understand.
You know?
You understand what it means. Again, that's all grit.
It is.
It's a grit situation. We had talked about in that practice, Jamal Williams was a star of episode one, wasn't really in episode two. Episode three, I came out of the episode like being like, that was cool to see Jamal Williams, but he was like out of his mind in this practice. Like,
all over the place.
He was, I don't know, like the energy was off the charts.
He had like 17 hour energy before he went into that practice.
He played like a guy whose head coach gave a super confusing speech before the practice started.
He was also like beatboxing at one point. So he was like, and then like throwing the ball to a couple kids in the stands. And it was like overshooting
them. Almost knocked
like
out a 3-year-old boy.
But the way that he was jawing with Zaire Franklin, I mean, that was a whole storyline. And we saw that whole thing on Twitter, and Franklin was calling
digger.
Him a bum.
Yeah, what was going on? So like we said, he was jawing constantly in the practice, Jamal Williams, over everything, to the point where it felt like it had to be a little bit of a distraction. He was too amped up. And on Twitter, what did you see there?
So NFL Films tweeted like a little teaser clip, nothing like a chippy joint practice, popcorn emoji, with between Franklin and Jamal Williams. And Zaire Franklin quote tweeted the clip and said, "Only in the league can a bum lose 3 reps in a row and still yell like he won. Crying face emoji, crying laughing emoji. Hope you're ready to cry about another losing season, champ."
Oh, no. And Connie, as you pointed out while we were watching, a well-placed bum is you know way more effective than some type of vitriol in terms of abusive language.
Bum is like has a sweet spot for me, yeah?
Jamal Williams replied to his tweet.
Oh, amazing.
"Sir, I literally made you look stupid in team period when you missed an open field tackle and I ran you and the safety for a touchdown during team period. Please go about your business," crying laughing emoji, crying laughing emoji. "You not about that when it's go time."
Okay, this is so petty. I am so in for
Wait,
this.
Can this episode just be Graver reading quotes off
that's
Twitter?
It's a new podcast coming this fall. But for me, the fact that there was a bum and a sir used, I mean, that thank you, Twitter gods. Bum is super underutilized, and bum was a big word in our house growing up. I don't know. I think it's like kind of a big thing in Philly, maybe, or maybe it is just my family. But
I'm gonna go circle back to, I don't have a lot of Philly knowledge. I'm more a North Jersey guy, but I know Rocky's go because, "Hey, Paulie, you're a bum."
Yeah,
that's like how I know it.
My grandmother always used to say to us about our grandfather, "He's a bum," and so that's the first time I learned about it.
I love that. One of my favorite moments of unintentional comedy this season, and maybe in several seasons on Hard Knocks, comes via assistant head coach, running backs coach Deuce Staley, who, as we know from the first couple episodes, loves to be animated and loud and be very involved with practice. Well, that becomes a problem when your voice goes on you early in the joint practice. Here's Deuce Staley dressing down his running backs group after a unimpressive series or two.
"So I want y'all to hear me. We got an ass kick. We got a f***ing ass kick.
Yes.
All right? And that's not up to our f***ing standards. So if you like what the f*** happened today, you don't need the f***ing beard. Because I f***ing don't like it. We wasn't attacking. We wasn't catching a f***ing ball. We wasn't hitting the f***ing hole. What the f***?"
Do we have more? I need more.
Yeah.
"That's not what the f*** we talk about. That's not what the f*** we about. So you better pick this up. I'm telling you right now. You better pick this up, especially when you get f***ing tired. Stop feeling sorry for yourselves.
Oh, rest the
cards. That's the game. You gotta play when you're f***ing tired. You gotta play when you're f***ing hurt. Coming back with your f***ing eyes all big like you're confused. Like that. Go to the next play. Not f***ing good enough."
How did the players, and none of them like cracked a smile? I mean, they're getting dressed down and they're trying to make a football team, but like how animated and fiery up he was, it reminded me of those YouTube videos that took off a couple of years ago, like the NFL lip sync.
Oh.
Yeah, well, whatever. You could plug in whatever it was like used for comedic effect.
Yeah.
Where you saw him all fired up and then it was like a little boy voice on helium. And it was just like, I couldn't help but laugh. And he was being deadly serious. So
And they
Deuce,
started that
respect
quote
you.
with him saying, I want you to hear me. Hear me good. But like, exactly. You literally could hardly hear him. Yeah. But I want someone to remix that into a song. You know how people can do that?
If any of our
listeners can do that, feel like there's some really good lines in there that you could spin into something great.
All right, let's take a quick break and then we'll get to the rest of the episode.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
My first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boog. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be my game.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Leesa, the sleep experts. Here at Leesa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Leesa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Leesa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.
All right, welcome back. Let's move to the back half of the episode and the big preseason game we talked about. It was a late a game where, again, the Lions had the lead. They almost let it all slip away on a late touchdown, but then get the stop at the end for the first W. And what were some takeaways you had from the preseason affair against the Colts?
This is a show that is just absolutely filled with outrageous quotes, but this was one of my favorite quotes of the entire show. Okay, so
I don't know if that's a quote.
No, for me it is. Yasmeen Easy, who is Abina's wife, she was going wild the whole time, and I just felt like that was so relatable, because if I was that's exactly what I would sound like if I was watching like John out there, if I was watching any of my close friends like you out there, like I would be screaming just like that. It's also amazing.
That was my inner monologue during the entirety of COVID in 2020, just at all times.
So,
two little boys at home.
Big takeaway there. But
isn't it weird? I've thought about this before on Hard Knocks, but when a family that obviously is incredibly
family
incredibly invested in their son or husband or boyfriend's success on the field and trying to make the team, and when they're on the offensive line especially, like I've been covering football for years and years, and I don't know I lean on Brian Baldinger and people like that to understand like what a guy's doing. So you could tell when a guy's a turnstile, but the nuances of that position are so fine. But when you're in the 200 section and the person's like career is on the line, that has to be a special kind of like just winging it in terms of emotional support. Are you doing well? Are you not doing well? Like, who knows?
She's the most supportive wife ever. The way that she was going crazy. I mean, just think about it, though, if you're married to someone who's a long snapper. Like, how do you...
Well, that, no, but you do know that.
I guess, yeah.
If you long snap it, but and like, it's a nice snap.
Pretty low stress.
Good work.
Exactly. But nice job. Cheers.
It's like, oh, his hand placement was terrible there. It's like... You almost need Baldy next to you.
Right.
You need a Baldy type.
You do. Everybody needs a Baldy.
Or you just be supportive no matter what.
I think that's...
I just mean in terms of critical nuance to studying your partner's play on the field. Or
she sign. Seemed very invested. Maybe they watched tape together. Who knows?
She's a tape dog. so that was good. I thought it was interesting in the coverage of the game from NFL Films' perspective. We got to see David Blau have a moment at the end of the first half, which was nice because Blau certainly seems like a nice guy. And he had to wear it at the end of the previous episode. So showing him get the touchdown pass and a nice throw in the back corner of the end zone at the end of the half. I do wonder, when is my boy Tim Boyle going to get some run?
Maybe next
week.
On
this show. I mean, listen, now the clock's ticking. And on that subject...
No Jared Goff either.
Where is Jared Goff? I'm going to save that for when, you know, predictions about coming up episodes. But I think Tim Boyle deserves some run.
Yeah.
Not to mention Ben Johnson. Where is the offensive coordinator of
the
Lions?
Haven't seen him. Missing.
How do we not? I think, Graver, you said at one point we might have seen him like at the edge
just
of a
like
shot.
In the side of a frame, yeah.
Like, can we at least give Ben Johnson, offensive coordinator of the Detroit Lions, a tiny bit of run in a preseason game before this is over.
Right, because Deuce actually, I mean, he's chewing a lot of scenery. Aaron Glenn,
too. Guy can't even talk, and he's getting major segments of the show.
You know what? That was so interesting, too, because as you pointed out when we were watching, Dan, Deuce had his voice back almost a couple days later from those joint practices when he had completely, it was Rasp City.
Yeah, our boy Sean Kelly had the good take that he was just banging those lozenges.
Oh.
Hammering them.
Yep. Tea and honey and lemon. That's what
you
do.
You know, the voice is in shutdown mode. I think you've probably been in this boat before. It happened to me last year. I screamed at the top of my lungs in my house because Giancarlo Stanton hit a grand slam at Fenway Park. And then I woke up the next day and my voice was just shot. And I was like, oh, I have like 14 podcasts coming up this week. So I kind of just had to... not talk for 2 days through the weekend, and then I just croaked my way through the next couple shows.
This scene has completely been deleted from my memory. I don't remember anything that happened from
there
last season.
There was a croaky Sunday night pod, and then we did a power rankings taping with Matt Money Smith, and he was just laughing at me when I admitted why my voice was gone.
It's only happened to me one time, and it was after my bachelorette party in Vegas, and it was my first trip to Vegas, and I lost my voice for a full week and a half. I think I was just screaming for 4 days straight.
Yeah, it sounds like you ingested something.
Yeah. Funny enough, I'm going to Vegas this weekend, so we'll see what
all
happens.
Right, well, be careful. All right, what else? Anything else from the preseason game that you wanted to touch on?
I guess the only thing was there was like a funny moment with Aaron Glenn on the sideline that had us cracking up when we were watching him during the game, but it was only one word that he kind of like erupted with, and we can't really play it. It wouldn't really make sense as a drop.
It's the mother of all swear words.
Yeah, so when you watch, you'll see. So that was funny, but yeah, that's it.
All right, now let's move on. Is it time for the Liev Schreiber quote of the week?
I can feel it. It's time.
All right. Liev Schreiber is not on this show. He's on Hard Knocks. He's not on this show. But thankfully, my longtime friend Jason Zumwalt is a voice artist. And he does not. I want to make this very clear. He only gets, I shoot him the text. He does not know the inflection from Schreiber. And every time it's spot on. Here is the latest edition of the Liev Schreiber quote of the week. I'll give a little just context. It's the Colts player or the players for the Lions are walking along a blue pathway to Colts practice.
This isn't Oz. It's day two in Indianapolis. But it is time for the Lions to double down on courage.
It's so good. He is so talented. We need a drop for that. Just like it's its own section.
Right. I think we do. I think we need to send Jason Zumwalt some Detroit-style pizza by the end of this show.
Yeah, are we paying him anything for this?
I'm working on it. It's just Jason's done a lot of pro bono work for around the NFL
so
over
nice
the years.
So nice of him.
But you know what?
What a kind man.
We got him to the Super Bowl.
Oh, okay. So that's pretty good. Yeah. All right.
I mean, it was to see the Rams win the Super Bowl, and he's a diehard Cardinals fan.
Yikes.
So maybe we'll figure something out.
Okay.
All right. How about, before we get to MVP voting,
plotline predictions?
How about some plotline predictions for episode 4? Let's, circle back to Goff here, because my first thought...
He's on the team still, right?
As the episode ended, my first thought was, okay, this is getting awkward. We need to get to Jared Goff. But now, I thought about it more. It's like, no, why not attempt the impossible, a hard knock season where the first string quarterback is not involved in any capacity?
Mm-hmm. Well, as we said,
dare to dream.
The offensive coordinator is also not involved, but for the quarterback is usually the main character of the entire team.
He is,
especially for one of these shows.
There is a line of Vince Lombardi. I got it from Chris Wessling because he said it often, that the only problem, if you want to call it, with football is that the rules of football and the sport of sport itself is that the quarterback is so disproportionately important to the enterprise that it kind of skews things a little bit. And yet, here we are.
Not this time.
3 hours into Hard Knocks out of 5 hours, and Jared Goff, his entire impact on the show was hitting Hutch on the shoulder pad and saying to Hutch's dad, he's doing great out there. That's
well,
it.
Listen, the Hard Knocks crew, they've dealt with Jared Goff a lot, and they've probably exhausted a lot of Jared Goff, like personal storylines and things. And as a service to the viewers, they don't want to be repetitive.
Oh, it's a service. I don't feel like we're missing a lot.
Great. But aren't you curious to know if Jared Goff moved to Detroit and also built a little golf course in his backyard there too?
I am curious. I don't, you know, like on Prestige Television, They'll just follow one of the characters for the entire hour, and it's like, oh, why don't we actually just, all right, I'll let indulge yourself. I don't need episode 4 to be 58 minutes of Jared Goff.
No.
But I would like to check in with Jared Goff. Where is Jared Goff in? Is a former number one overall pick, clearly a bridge quarterback. He's probably not the future, but he's very much the present, and he has obviously a golden opportunity to reestablish himself. There is some meat on this narrative bone.
Maybe even just a wellness check at this point. Jared, are you okay? How are you doing?
It's like, has Dan Campbell ever talked to you before? That would be my first question.
Does Dan know your name? That's terrible.
I'm still waiting, and I'll continue to say this until it happens, because I've seen so many Hard Knock seasons. A visit downtown that pays homage to the Detroit music scene. Soul, blues, hip-hop, garage rock. Something... that's got to be coming, right?
And cars. That's what I want.
Cars!
I mean, even the comedian that was in this episode, which we'll touch on in a little bit. Yes, cars need to be involved. Ford is a huge deal there, right? And I think it's...
Well done, Colleen.
Come on. And it's in the open with the tires and the cars and all of it. So that's got to happen, too.
I would say the Detroit Lions and their ownership group do agree that Ford is a huge deal.
It's a massive part of the enterprise, everybody. Also, I think that coming up, we'll see maybe a little Jeff Okuda action, because we haven't really seen anything from him. So maybe the starting cornerback battle will be a little bit of a storyline to weave in coming up this week.
But I will say that even though there's some things that, you know, Jameson Williams,
right,
who we just learned in the news that, you know, he's expected to start the season, I believe, on the PUP list. And we knew that because he's coming off the ACL. It'd be interesting just to see this rookie that everyone's so excited about, this electrifying wide receiver, as he rehabs the knee. I don't know if we're going to get that. But in general, I feel like the storytelling in the season has felt fresh, while at the same time feeling like Hard Knocks. So I don't have any complaints. I'm not even a big all right, send two players into the city guy. I'm not.
No.
I'm just saying I'm so used to seeing it that I'm expecting it and it hasn't happened yet.
I think that's why this season has been so good, because it's not, they're not doing things because they have to do it, because they've done it before, because it feels like the viewers are used to it. They're just telling the stories that are there, and they're good, and they are fresh.
And, you know, we love this show, but if you want to be fair, there is a criticism from some people that say sometimes there's a sameness if you watch season after season. So, yeah, maybe this is a conscious effort to mix it up a little bit.
Yeah, I like that. That's,
you gotta evolve.
We'll see.
We all got to evolve.
Everybody. You got to learn. You got to grow. You got to develop. And then maybe you will become an MVP.
And remember. Remember. Oh, that was your transition.
That was it. That was it. I tried to throw it to you.
Son of
a
gun.
I was waiting.
All right. An MVP. It's time. Remember, this is vector voting.
Which is what again?
I don't know. I forgot. Okay. Every vote counts.
Gravedigger will take care of it.
There's addition involved. That was, remember, you were asking me what was the third thing I had asked you?
Right.
For, we asked for merch.
Yep.
Got it.
Yep.
Ding.
Check.
Asked for Detroit pizza. I believe you're working on it.
Coming soon.
Ooh.
All right. Here's the merch.
Oh my gosh, I love my shirt. I just got it right before we started this episode. I can't wait to wear it. It's so soft.
And the third request I had, Graver, was addition, basic addition, tallying up the votes throughout episode 1 through 5.
On it.
Yeah. So anyway, it's a weighted voting system. Third place vote, second place vote, first place vote. And at the end of the year, Graver does the math. We declare the MVP of Hard Knocks. Mm-hmm. Let's go third place vote, starting with Connie.
Okay. So third place for me. This week was a little difficult. The first two episodes.
You said that last week too.
You know, I think because the first episode was easy for me. And then I think this week was even a little bit more difficult than last week. My third place vote is going to go to Jamal Williams, because he was such a character during those joint practices that it was hard to not notice him. And his personality is so big and his energy just pops off the screen. So Jamal Williams for me is third place.
It's a good call. I don't have him on my list, but I understand why you did it, because he is... He makes for entertaining television, and that's the goal here. I was a little annoyed by him. Like, his antics in the practice were a little much for me. Like, I felt it
he
to
was
be
the main
a little over the top.
Of those practices, though. Like, him and Franklin.
He just wanted to shut up. It was like he was so obsessed with settling scores. But maybe, again, this is a professional athlete. Like, this is maybe how he gets juiced, and this lets him play at his highest level. I don't know. But yes, I watched that with a smile on my face, or more just like a, huh? What's going on with this guy?
The smile turned into a grimace?
Yeah, it was more like, not a grimace, but more like a, huh?
Yeah.
What's up with
Jamal Williams
today? Mm-hmm. All right, third place vote for Jamal Williams. My third place vote, and I think this is someone that's on your list, is Josh Adams, the Motown king of comedy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Love that one.
You know, it is very difficult to, that's a tough spot because Adams is going into this room filled with professional athletes and macho guys, and they're very much in that mode in terms of competition. It was like,
that's a group, that's a family, that's a clique.
Yep. And it's like, impress us.
Mm-hmm.
And he has to go there and do it. And damn it, did Josh Adams impress him. He slayed. He killed.
Oh, my God.
In his set that we watched. Here's one when he looked over to the number 2 overall pick and addressed Hutchinson.
Hey, Hutch, what's up, boy? You good?
Great.
You just look like a big-ass boy band member. What's up with you, man? Just Justin Timberlake coming off the edge. Dang, you know what he look like? Just a big, strong Backstreet Boy.
Is Adams coming up on your list too?
He is.
Okay, so we'll hold there. So he's my vote, because I respect that he went into that room and won the crowd over and just was funny as hell. So third place vote, Josh Adams.
I absolutely loved him, but he was not my second place.
Whoa, you really like Josh Adams.
I loved him so much. I loved him so much. He came, I mean, at this point, I'm just
I would never want to step on your first place vote, but I never imagined the stand-up comic that went into the meeting room.
He was my favorite. That was, he had so many good lines. I laughed so many times. I'm never not going to see Aiden Hutchinson as Justin Timberlake or a Backstreet Boy coming off the edge like that. He called Dan Campbell like Hulk Hogan. He was so good. He came in. He hooked everybody with the his signing bonus was $200 line. Right. And like that was it. That was his in. So
that was it.
I gave him a first place vote. I mean,
all right, we'll get to that. Yeah. We'll get to first place. But your second place vote.
Second place vote. It was between Dan Campbell and Deuce Staley, and I gave it to Dan Campbell. Dan Campbell is just, it's so hard to beat him because of the presence that he has, the crazy things that he says that don't even make sense, but I still love them, and I still remember them. I mean, paint your faces and sharpen your spears. Like that, what? What are you talking about? Absolutely.
He's a
Let's
quote
go.
Machine.
Yeah, so he's, for me, winning is everything to him, and they finally got a win for him, so it's a big week for him.
And I want Dan Campbell to be successful because, you know, as a fan of a downtrodden team, eternally downtrodden team, the Jets, I view the Lions as brethren. I'd love to see it, and they're in the NFC, so they're not my issue anyway. I would love to see the Lions and Dan Campbell rise, but even if it didn't work out ultimately, Dan Campbell has proven himself as a great kind of teacher of men and a man who loves ball and loves the sport. He's going to be around NFL for as long as he wants to be around NFL. I've really had...
He's flying that plane.
He is. He is flying the plane. Second for me, I'm going to give it to Khalil Pimpleton.
Oh, yeah.
Again, his name is Khalil Pimpleton. When he's trying to think, what am I going to do in front of this team? He says, I'm going to juggle. And again, I just thought the gumption, it's everything I try to teach my sons, you know, don't do what you think makes you fit in. Just do what you feel you should do and stand strong and just go do it. And
then he made some plays. You gotta be your own man in this world.
Yeah, and he made some plays in the joint practices. And I just thought, here's an underdog that I could get behind. Pimp. It's a great nickname, too.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, my gosh. I just caught that because I was like, who's he calling Pimp out there? That makes a whole lot of sense. Yeah, it's a good one.
And your first is going to be Josh Adams. Do you want to hear Josh on Dan Campbell?
Yes.
All right, let's hear it.
Y'all got popping. I ain't no coach was that big. Damn. We need you on special teams. All the coaching, cuz. We need you out here breaking up the wedge, fam. He walked up to me big as shit. Well, how you doing? I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, when did Hulk Hogan start coaching this bitch, fam? What's going on, brother?
So true. It's also like the little elements of the joke that, you know, his routine kills, like breaking up the wedge. I just love that.
Oh,
like he, you know who knows ball? Josh Adams.
He's really good.
he knows
funny.
Ball.
Calling
funny.
Alex Anzalone Thor. I mean, right. It was just really, it was a good set. I enjoyed it.
It was a great set. So good job, Josh Adams. I do have Dan Campbell with my first place vote for everything that we've talked about.
Yep.
It was weird. Did you think it was weird? I know you thought it was weird because we talked about it already before we started talking into the mics. Did you think it was weird, Connie, that when Josh Adams is going off on Dan Campbell in a lighthearted way, but in a
yes.
pointed way, we never got a reaction shot to Campbell?
Yes, and I was watching to see the players' eyes, and some of them were like had a little bit of like they were
nervous
laughing
starting.
And I was wondering if they were looking at Campbell because maybe he wasn't happy about it.
And
but
by,
I'm sure he seems like a guy that can absolutely take a joke.
And let's just be fair, because we've been complimenting NFL films and how brilliant they are. If there is an overhead shot of the entire coaching staff pulling back a maniacal Dan Campbell trying to race to the front of the stage to beat the comedian into the ground, we need to see it.
He was sharpening his spear.
Yeah. He's like physically sharpening his spear in the corner while the comedian is lightheartedly insulting him. Yes, we need to see it, NFL films.
I was really wondering about that because they had cutaways of everyone else that he was ripping on.
Unless he wasn't in the room, which doesn't sound like Dan Campbell's style, we need to see how Dan Campbell reacted to that.
Yep.
Unless it was, you know, a reaction.
But they probably would have showed that.
But here's a
conspiracy
theory.
Unless they had to, like, take it out or something. Oh.
Unless he didn't love it, and then the Lions are like, we don't love it.
Oh.
Little conspiracy theory.
Okay.
All right. So Dan Campbell gets my first place vote because, again, I think he's absolutely so far three episodes in lived up to the hype of what we thought. He's a quote machine. He's high energy. And he's just like, he's the sun in this universe.
Yeah. He's the straw that stirs the drink.
He sure is. All right. That's it for this week. We'll be back next week, next Tuesday night, for another recap for the penultimate episode of the 17th season of Hard Knocks. I can't believe it goes fast.
17.
Goes fast. And I hope people are sticking with the show to the very end, because I think they've built this up. And it's going to be a lot of fun to see how these underdogs come through. The Blauhard Nation standing up. Maybe some more Jared Goff.
Can we get one more scream?
Yes. Whoa.
Oh, my God. Loved it.
All right. Until next week.
Later.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.